Grace to you and peace from God our Father through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a joy to be with you here virtually as we come together to proclaim the good news of who Jesus is, to celebrate this coming King, Jesus, who has come once into this world to save us and will indeed come again. And so we look forward to not only his first arrival and kind of recalling what that means in our lives, but also then turning our attention to what it means that he is going to come again to bring us home to the Father. I don't just come alone today, I come with the greetings of many people, starting with the President, President Mike Lang, over at the office in Livermore of the California, Nevada, Hawaii District. But I also bring greetings on behalf of our staff there in Livermore and on behalf of the 80 congregations that make up the California, Nevada, Hawaii District. California, Nevada, Hawaii District involves all of northern Nevada. It takes from about Santa Barbara all the way up to the Oregon border and the entire state of Hawaii. And in there, we have 180 congregations. We also have 65 schools. We have one high school, multiple elementary schools, and plenty of preschools as well. And so it's on behalf of not only the pastors and the workers and the teachers and the administrators and the DCEs and deaconesses in those places that I bring greetings, but as well as the brothers and sisters who are members of those congregations. 2020 has been a really bizarre year for all of us, and I know you're feeling it there, having been away from your church family for so long. And when I've kind of struggled through 2020, I start realizing, man, I feel really alone. I feel isolated. I wonder if anybody else out there even notices that things are different. What's the rest of the world dealing with? How are people getting through this pandemic? And it's good to know on those dark days that I remember that we have over 180 congregations of people who are trying and working hard to proclaim the good news of Jesus in their neighborhoods, in their communities, just as you are there. And so I bring greetings on behalf of the President and the entire CNH District Office and congregations today. As we look at our reading for today, we look at the Annunciation of Mary when Gabriel announces to Mary that she will be carrying Jesus and kind of gives the whole groundwork of who Jesus is. And it's a really strange encounter, but it's one that I can kind of relate to. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of somebody coming to you and saying, we need to talk, we need to have a conversation. And you know, when my wife generally says stuff like that, that means I need to listen because we have something very important to discuss and something that she is going to let me know and talk about. It happens in business, it happens in the world. Well, when I moved from Wisconsin to Northern California in April, we had just gotten settled in. Our moving pods had come. They were sitting in the driveway. We had all sorts of things to unload. And I kept noticing my wife was just disappearing. And she was watching the kids, or maybe she was taking a nap. And I was thinking, man, like, these kids are out of control. Why do I feel like I am lifting everything and carrying everything? And I came up after multiple loads, and all of a sudden she said to the other kids, you need to go to bed and we need to talk. I knew instantly that something was awry, that something was a little weird. I'm not sure what's exactly happening, but I knew in that moment something big was going to happen. And she pulls me aside and she says, you're not going to believe this, but I'm pregnant with our fourth child. I was bewildered. I had no clue what to do. I didn't expect this to happen. We had just moved across the country in the middle of a pandemic, and now I get news that my wife is pregnant. And the shock of that and the awe just kind of sent me reeling, and I thought to myself, like, there is no way. Is there? There is a way. But wow, this is confusing. I'm not really sure what to think of it. I'm not really sure what to make of it. How is this going to affect our family? What's this going to do with our finances? How is this going to change the new house we just had with four bedrooms, one for each of our three kids, and now we're going to have a fourth kid, and I had no clue where to go or what to do or what to think. And eventually reality kind of sets in after asking a lot of questions like, are you sure? Are you positive? And it's a conversation that I had with my wife that was incredibly powerful to me, and it's one that many times in life I've had conversations where people say, we need to talk, whether it was a boss, or whether it was a friend, or whether it was my wife, or whether it was one of my kids. When people say, we need to have a conversation, I know something's going to happen. And Mary has this really strange encounter here that we get from Luke. And Mary, of course, tells Luke about her experience with the angel Gabriel. But we get to read this from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." What an incredible greeting that this young girl, this Jewish girl, would receive from the angel Gabriel. Now, it would be weird if Gabriel appeared to any of us or an angel came and spoke to any of us, and yet here's Mary, and she's almost confused, not by who he is, but she's more confused and troubled by the words that come out of his mouth. "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting that this might be. It's almost like, who? What? Me? Highly favored? The Lord is with me? I know what you're about to tell me is going to take me for a ride. It's almost as if she's getting buttered up by Gabriel. "Oh, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And she's thinking, what's coming next? Because people don't generally greet me in this way. But the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." But Mary asked the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Gabriel comes and talks to Mary and says, "Mary, here's the deal. You are with child. And that child is going to be the king of the world, the one whose kingdom will never end." And Mary, who is already troubled and skeptical because of the way Gabriel greeted her, is now thinking to herself, "This is insane. This doesn't even make sense. How can I possibly be pregnant? I am engaged to a man. I am a virgin. I have never had sex. What do you mean that I am pregnant?" Mary was confused before. She's certainly confused and maybe bewildered at this point. The angel answered, "The Spirit, Holy Spirit, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." What an incredible, incredible exchange we have between Mary and Gabriel. Mary, skeptical from the outset, but a faithful woman who has obviously found favor in God. Her faith is immense, and we'll see just how big her faith is in a moment. She now receives word that the Lord himself is not only going to come and dwell within her, but also that he will be the king of the world and he will reign. And all of a sudden we get a glimpse of what it is that God promised to Adam and Eve back in Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve fell into sin and the Lord comes down and promises deliverance some way in some point. And the Old Testament kind of builds its way all the way up to a point where we can start to see who this Jesus is. It gives prophecies throughout the Old Testament pointing us to this day when a virgin will conceive a child and that child will be the Son of God, the King of the earth. And Mary, probably a teenager at this time, 13, 14, 15 years old, engaged to her husband Joseph, who is much older at the time. And now she's just received word that she will be carrying God himself. And as a sign to know that this is going to actually happen, Elizabeth, her cousin, who's older, will also be pregnant. It's almost like Gabriel left sort of this trail of crumbs that leads to a place where Mary has no clue but to kind of say, "I guess this is really happening." At least that's the way I would do it. I'm sure that's the way you would feel as well. Waking up in the morning and thinking to yourself, an angel of the Lord came to me, gave me this incredible news, which makes zero sense by human standards. And he's also left a way for me to know that it's true. But Mary isn't like you and I. Well, she's not like me anyway. She is a faithful person who understands the Lord. She has found favor in the Lord because of her deep-rooted faith, because of her unwavering commitment to her God. And so Mary, after receiving all these things and in her mind trying to make sense of it all, simply comes back with these words, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. To think that Mary is this woman of faith who has such incredible faith that she just receives something that makes absolutely no sense by worldly standard, and she simply responds with, "I'm God's servant. If that's what's going to be, let it be." And she accepts this great opportunity, this great honor of carrying the Son of God into the world. And so we sing this song at Christmas time, "Mary, Did You Know?" And the answer is yes, she knew. He told her from the very beginning. The angel visited her and told her exactly what would happen and exactly why it's going to happen, and that she herself would carry the Son of God. And moving into the next section, Mary's song, starting in verse 46, which we're not going to touch on here today, but her very first lines in singing to the Lord is, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." To think that he would take a humble servant like me and do such incredible things. Mary's faith is astronomical. Mary's faith is one that we should all be envious of and one that we should all try and emulate. And myself, I fail so often that our God can do impossible things in our world. And yet I address the world, and maybe you do as well, through logical, practical eyes, thinking to yourself, there's no way some things could happen. Whether it's actually praying for someone to be healed, or whether it's God doing miracles in our midst, or whether it is even the Son of God coming down to pay a price for you and me so that our sins would be forgiven. When we stop and think about this stuff logically, I don't know about you, but for me, I oftentimes think to myself, is it all true? Is it all possible? It is all cracked up that Jesus Christ, born in a manger, could come into this world, live a perfect life, could die on a cross, and because he died on the cross and paid the price, I am forgiven and I have a chance to be restored, to be reconciled, to be made right with our God, to be made justified with him. That Jesus, born of Mary, would then die on a cross, would then rise from the grave, would ascend into heaven, and will one day come down to take me and all believers with him. Is this logical? I struggle with it sometimes. I think to myself, how can God possibly forgive what I have done? How can God possibly see me as perfect and holy and blameless on account of Christ? And I'm sitting here struggling with that. And Mary receives words that as a virgin, she will carry the Son of God. And that Son of God will be the Savior, who is the King, who redeems, who restores, who reconciles, who forgives not only her sin, but the sins of the whole world. And she simply says, "I'm the Lord's servant. Gabriel, what you've said, that nothing is impossible with God, this is the God that I believe in. This is the God who has made me forgiven, who has made me loved, who reminds me that I have a purpose and that I have value." And Mary says, that's the God that if he's going to work miracles in me and somehow he has found favor in me, then I will go ahead and believe. Boy, Mary's faith is one that is incredible. It is a deep, profound faith. One that the Lord sees as set her apart from everyone else up to that point in history, and one that carries the Son of God into the world to set her apart from all humans for all time. When I look at Mary, I can't help but wonder to myself, why do I have such a hard time believing that God has found favor with me? And maybe you have the exact same thought too. That our Lord looks at you not only as a person, but he looks at you as his prized possession. He looks at you and says, you are loved. You are loved beyond what this world could ever tell you. You're valued. And the price that he paid for you was through his son Jesus, who had to humiliate himself to come into this world, to live amongst us, to have his diapers changed by his mother, to be ridiculed, to be mocked, to be laughed at, to be plotted to be killed, to eventually being beaten, being hung on a tree, so that his blood could pay a price for you. Friends, to understand that our God not only found special favor with Mary, but to understand that he also finds special favor with you and with every other human being, that he would give up his own son to come to this earth to live for us, should blow your mind. The idea that our God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who has made you his own because he loves you and because he values you, who didn't just stop there, but also gave you a purpose. The purpose to go out and proclaim the goodness of who Jesus is to a world that needs to know about it. The reality is, if our God can love you with all your shortfalls, with all your shortcomings, with all your sinfulness and all your brokenness and all your mess, and if he can love me with all of my stuff that goes on in my life, then the good news is for everyone else who doesn't yet know Jesus is that he can love them as well. Friends, we have a God who has brought us a long, long way. We have a God who makes impossible things possible. The one who can make the unlovable, the unforgivable, loving and forgiven. The one who shows us grace and mercy and joy and peace. And it all comes to this culmination here in the story of Mary, when his entire Old Testament and his prophets are wired to lead us right to this point in which we will get to meet the Christ. Mary got to meet him in her womb, and then got to raise him as a child and got to be there to watch him not only die, but also to rise again, to see the fulfillment of what God promised her and Gabriel promised her in these early days. We have an incredible God who has done something remarkable. And because he did this through Mary, our lives will never be the same without it. That our God would love us and care about us enough to make us part of his redemption story. That he would not only find favor in Mary, but that he would find favor in you. And that he would find favor in a world that needs to hear about the hope and the help that we have. We have an incredible God who has done so much for us. We have an incredible Savior in Jesus Christ who came into this world, who suffered on our behalf, who struggled on our behalf, so that our God could look at us and say, I have favor with you. And our simple response, regardless of how much we can't believe it, and regardless of how overwhelming that news is, simply is, I am the Lord's servant. If he has found favor in me because of Jesus Christ, then let it be to me as you have said. And that is that you are a forgiven, blameless child of God, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so we live our lives with the purpose of bringing this good news, as impossible as it may seem, to a world who needs to hear about it. So that in the morning we can wake up and say, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Father, the one who sent Jesus into the world to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves, and to save us from this world where moths and rusts and disease and pandemics destroy. And he will come again to take us up on out of here, to a place where we will dwell with the Lord forever. That's the good news for you and for all who believe. That's the good news we need to get out to our neighbors. Nothing is impossible with God. We are his servants. Let it be as he promised to us it would be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.